Hallelujah. We have some visitors that just came in from Cameroon. Pastor Ngole Charles McCauley of the Voice of Apostle Church, Cameroon. Can you come forward, sir, and greet the church? And you are here with Brother Tata Lawrence and Brother Tata Ellison. Please come and greet the church. God bless you, sir. You're welcome. You're welcome. Let me greet you. All the way from Cameroon. Please give the microphone. Let them greet the church. Greet the church, sir. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. God bless you. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Thank you.
Brethren, my joy is full. And I'm at the same time, I appreciate God for what He has done through this pastor. May the name of the Lord be glorified forever in Jesus' name. So I greet you all in Jesus' name.
And you, how did you know us?
I want to thank God that when you arrived in Bamenda, I was not in Cameroon. I was not around. The brethren, some pastors from my church, heard you. And as we've been hearing, so they learned that you are coming in Bamenda. So they left and went to Bamenda. And then when I came back, they told me, your kind of preacher don't come, Cameroon. I said, who is that? They said, Pastor Alu. Then I said, I will not only hear it from somebody, but I will take my two legs and come to Nigeria.
Hey.
Why was I decided to come to Nigeria? I began preaching around 1978.
Choi. They never born now.
And then, in Cameroon, we could not, people never wanted to hear that somebody had been baptized in Jesus' name. They never wanted to hear that. They never wanted to, some of them never even wanted to follow exactly what the Bible talks of. Being a repentant somebody, being baptized with the Holy Ghost, or being baptized in water in the name of Jesus, and being baptized with the Holy Ghost. Most of them never wanted to hear that. And most of them lived in a kind of like, I don't know how to express it. But when I got this message, and as I've been seeing the church in the screen, I said, this should be my brethren.
Hallelujah.
I said, this should be the people I
Hallelujah.
Want. That is the reason why I left and came here. I've been here for 2 days. Amen. I could not locate the church.
Wow.
And before, as I was leaving, I told God, I'm not coming with somebody. I'm coming all alone. And I have never been in Lagos before. But that, I want God to send somebody who will take me to Lagos and to locate me where the church is. So when I got to Ekong, I met my brother in the vehicle. I said, you are going where? He said, he's going to Lagos. I said, but no, I've never been to Lagos. But no, I'm a pastor. I've never been to Lagos. He said, you are going to do what in Lagos? Well, I said, I want to go and see where that pastor is. I said, do you know a bride assembly? He said, no. I said, but you are going to Lagos? He said, yes. I said, all right, let's go. I was with him, with one lady who was going to the church of synagogue. So we came, and they dropped us in synagogue. I told them that this is not my place.
Hey.
This is not where I belong to. So, that same night, I told that lady, I beg you, let me in the hotel. They took me in one of the hotels and they told me that I have some English people here whom I need to see them. They may know the church. So I met this my son. He's also here in Lagos. Huh? You don't know bride and assembly. He said, no. In which church do you go? He said, Winner's Chapel. I said, leave that talk. You have never known of bride and assembly. He said, no. Okay, let me find it. That night we met tongues, and then people we met, they said, you don't know bride and assembly. What do you say? You don't know bride and assembly. They said, you don't know. Then in the morning yesterday, before we left the house, he got an address. Because that was the message I made in Cameroon. When I was coming, I was supposed to come with an address. I didn't come with it. So he got the address and called the number here. They didn't receive it. The letter, he told me that he had somebody told him how we have to move. So I was glad. This morning, they took us. One boy said, he knows the church. He took us in another church. I met the place. I said, no, this is not my place.
Hey.
Carry us. So he called another man. The man said, he knows the church. He said, when we arrive where the chosen church is, we'll go behind. I said, thank you. So when I got here, I saw brethren. I want to say that handsome men for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Beautiful women for Jesus.
Hallelujah.
When I saw you people, I became happy. I became big.
Hallelujah.
So I thank God for being in your midst and for seeing the person I wanted to see.
Amen.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, sir. God bless you. Thank you, sir. We will see later. That reminds me of this song. They come from the east and west. They come from the land of God. To thy heart is best. How blessed is he who are. Beholding his hallowed face, a glory that I divine. Hallelujah. From everywhere. Elijah thought he was the only one. Since 1973, he has been preaching this message. And he thought he's the only one. But God has his elect. Hallelujah. He has reserved for himself. Who will not bow to the denominational system? They will not bow. Can we stand up and pick a text and let me prophesy after Prophet Sunday? Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3. As we continue with the series we've been taking throughout this consecration period, preparing to meet the Lord. Let's continue. But I want to pick a thought from Galatians chapter 3 and 2 verses there, 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and verse 14. Verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Be made a curse for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. Verse 14, my emphasis, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. I read verse 14 again. That the reason he went to the cross and hung and picked, took upon himself that curse. This is the reason that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. For what? That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Be seated. The purpose of the entire message is to redirect our lost bearing. That is the purpose of the message. And that's the purpose of this ministry. And that purpose is not fulfilled until your spiritual direction is redirected back to the ancient landmarks. That's all we try to do. The devil through his ministers. That's why when we were praying that prayer point, I want to know you more. I said, I want to know you more because I don't want to serve another Jesus. I don't want to hear another gospel. And I don't want to have another spirit. You see, it is another gospel that has redirected our focus as Christians. Church, the focus of every average Christian, as far as knowing Jesus is concerned, they know him as only a solution solver. A problem solver, a solution giver. If you have any problem, go to church. If you have any problem, go to church. If you don't want the enemy to kill you, go to church. If you don't, just protection and then prosperity. And then prosperity. Listen. The blessings of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. What is the blessing of Abraham? What is the blessing of Abraham? The average Christian will tell you Abraham was the wealthiest at his time. And that's the truth. He was the wealthiest. He had so much until one family, one man was enough with his household. More than 300 men to go and fight another nation and deliver his relations. He has so much wealth. But that is not the promise. There is a promise that God gave Abraham. And that promise is the blessing that God gave him. That, what is it? The blessing that in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Hey. Think, please try to listen to me. It will help you. In thy seed. And Apostle Paul told us that that seed was who? Hallelujah. If you go down to verse 16. He said, now to Abraham and his seed, where the promise is made. He said, not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is who? Christ. Christ is that seed. Abraham's blessings are mine. Abraham's blessings are mine. I am blessing the morning. I am blessing the afternoon. And I am blessing the night. I am blessing Lagos. I told you that salvation, redemption, we have been misdirected. And that spirit is so subtle. Until when you are missing the mark, you will not know. So what did that gospel do? What that gospel did is to take our hearts away from the process of salvation and place it on material acquisitions. Instead of our hearts to be on things eternal. Our hearts are placed on things that will decay. Instead of our hearts to be filled with heavenly things, our hearts are filled with earthly things. And it is nothing but a plan of the devil. Apostle Paul said we are not unaware of the device of the devil. Where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. The place William Branham preached a message entitled "The Greatest Battle Ever Fought." And he said that greatest battle that I ever fought on earth is fought in the mind. Apostle Paul brought it down in Romans chapter 7. The battle that takes place in the mind. You want to do good. You know you should do good, but evil is there. Drags you another side. And he ended up by saying how wretched we are. But that wretchedness was settled through the cross on Calvary. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so when Satan, listen, amen. When Satan comes to attack your finance, amen. Do you think it is the finance he's attacking? Does Satan spend money? Does he spend money? When he comes to disturb your marriage, will he marry your husband, marry your wife? Does he marry? Hallelujah. When you see Satan cause problem and you have accident and the car is damaged. The car that you just bought brand new. Do you think he's interested in the car? That's why he scattered it? No. Satan is not interested in your car. Satan is not interested in your house that burnt down. Satan is not interested in your business. He's not interested in your business. Don't think he wants to take over your business. That's why he ran it down. What he is interested in is your heart. It is your heart he wants to attack. Because you know that is where your heart is. Your heart is in your business. Your heart is in your money. Your heart is in your marriage. That is all your heart is. If I can destabilize his heart, if I can destabilize his heart, then his heart will be too destabilized to think of God. His mind will be. So that is why if he can get you to be chasing after money, so you don't want to be poor. So you don't want to be poor. I know what I suffer. I know what I suffer. I know what my papa suffer. I know what my mama suffer. I had a suffer. That's why I don't go to school. Now where I don't get small money, and then all your heart is there. If he can succeed and get that, he has finished his assignment on you. And he has preachers that are promoting it. That want you to believe that you are right with God when everything around you are prospering financially, you are prospering in your marriage, you are prospering in your business, you are prospering in everything, in your profession, you are prospering, and then they are quick to teach you about hard work, hard work, hard work, hard work, hard work, hard work. And all that, if you go to church, what they are doing, instead of when we come to church, we are to face our spiritual well-being. Instead, they take more time, if not all the time, telling you how to acquire these material things with biblical scriptures. How you can own a car just so. And they will tell you this ministry is a ministry of prosperity. A young woman told me years back, boasting about their church, he said, if you want to prosper, come to our church. Our church is a church of prosperity. And another bishop in Nigeria said God gave him a mandate for prosperity. And so he has combed everything the Bible speaks about prosperity and prosperity until, if you are in that type of church and you are not prospering, it means you are not a Christian. And you've been sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. And so, when we come to church, hallelujah, what are you doing? You are busy protecting these areas of focus. Hallelujah. You come to church and all the prayer points you hear is any man that say, I will not prosper, what are you waiting for? You come to church from morning till night, fire, fire, Holy Ghost fire. You go to the mountain, dry fasting. What are you fasting for? My fiance wants to leave me. What are you fasting for? Power must change hands. And so everything you do in your spiritual life is to protect these material things. It's to protect, you go to church to protect your business. All your prayer points in the midnight, it is to protect your environment, your possession that you possess here. Holy Ghost of fire, Holy Ghost of fire, Holy Ghost of fire, from morning to night, Holy Ghost of fire. You go home tired. What happened? I'm down from the mountain. No one single prayer point did you have concerning your spiritual well-being. It's an error, brother. It's an error. That is the product of another gospel. But what does the Bible say? What is it that we are supposed to protect? What is it that we are supposed to protect? Can we open Proverbs chapter 4? One verse, 23. Everybody. Everybody, can we read it? Everybody, everybody. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Read it very loud to the hearing of your neighbor. Shall we go? Say it again. Keep thy heart, keep thy heart with all diligence, diligence, hallelujah, for out of your heart come the issues of life. The issues of life come from your heart. The issues of life, Jesus Christ put it this way, a man's life does not consist of the abundance of his possessions. The things he possesses. That's not what your life consists of. You see? Our hearts, you are not to guide, listen, you are not to guide your car. You are not to guide your business. You are not to guide your marriage. You are not to guard anything else on this earth. The only thing you must guard with all diligence is your heart. Because if the devil can get your heart, you are finished. And if God too can get your heart, you are settled. These are the two places, these two spirits. The Spirit of God and Satan, the devil, they are interested in. God and Satan, they are interested in your heart. For out of the abundance, Matthew 12, Jesus Christ says so. Out of the abundance of the heart, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Out of the abundance of the heart. If there is nothing in the heart, the mouth will have nothing to say. And if you have something, If it is good, it is good thing that will come out of your mouth. If it is bad and evil things that in your heart, it can't help it. It is what you have, you give. The mouth can say nothing but what the heart gives it. Amen. Guide your heart. He said, with all diligence. With all diligence. For out of the heart, out of it, come the issues of life. Praise the Lord. And therefore, in this consecration period, if you are going to come out successful, if you are going to achieve anything, the first testimony you will have to continue with your Christian life better than you were before this period started, your attention should be in your heart. Focus it in your heart. Focus your attention this period on your heart. The fast is going to be effective. Then take a look at your heart, your mind, all your thinking. Hallelujah. Somebody told me, I'm a Christian pastor, but I'm battling with something. I still find lost. I still find lost in my mind, in my thoughts. Lost. Listen. There is no scripture that says because you have the Holy Ghost that those thoughts will not come. The thoughts will continue to come. Evil thoughts will continue to come. You talk about arrow. One which fire me arrow. You have forgotten that there is also arrow of thought. They can fire you with thought. Fire you with thought. Fire you with thought. And that is the most deadly weapon. Because when your heart is gotten, then it's just a matter of time. The actions will take place. Every sin you commit starts first with a thought. So the thought will come. Now the battle starts. When the thought comes, that is when the battle starts. It is now time for you to either accept it or reject it. If you accept it, it will stay and achieve its purpose. If you reject it, hallelujah. And that is what the Holy Ghost is given for. It gives you the power to resist evil. It gives you the power to kick Satan back to sender. Hallelujah. Thoughts. And these thoughts that you see come, they don't only come spiritually like that, by inspiration like that. We call inspiration because Satan too inspires. It also comes using your five senses. Your eye, when you see, then it will send a message to your heart. Amen. So, watch what you see. Amen. Another one is your ear. When you hear, then the work will start. We send message to your heart. Because it's not just hearing that he's interested. He wants you to act. But before acting, he will first and foremost speak for you to hear, then your heart will receive. Because that is the same way God works. The church shall live by faith. But faith cometh by hearing. When you hear the word, and it's by the word of God. If you hear, you live by the word of God. Hallelujah. When you hear, you live by the word of God. Then you will live a life that is pleasing before God. But if all you feed to your soul, feed for your mind, feed to your spirit, is these worldly things, then you will continue to live a carnal life. Because you are dictated by the abundance of what you have kept in the heart. Including smell. You will smell the thing. Hallelujah. And then touch. Including touch. There are the five senses that also are gateways for the heart to be dealt with. So it is not a sin. It is not sin that you turn your eye and you see a naked woman, brother. It is not sin. But seeing a naked woman is a message sent through your eyes, and it is targeting your heart. Amen. So what do you do? Hallelujah. When you see it, what you have to do is to rebuke it. I rebuke you, Satan. I'm a Christian. I will not lust with my eye. I sanctify this eye with the blood of Jesus. Satan, get out. You won't get me. And you know what? It is also an exercise. The more you do that, the less that attack comes. The more you have power also over it. But you sit down there, naked woman stand there, pass. Then you come and say, you come and look. Then you come and say, see this useless girl. See how she open her breast. See. Hey, this woman. In the follow with her eye. This woman. He don't get you. He has got to you. You are romancing with the devil. What's your business? Looking and looking. Look what? William Branham said this is how he overcome his own. He said he hung the crucifix in his car. He says, he said when he's driving his car, he's going in America, he see these naked people, and they say he will take his eye away and look at the cross. And when he sees the cross, a song will come out. In the cross, be my glory. Till my righteous soul shall find rest beyond the river. Everybody must have your defense mechanism put on. Machinery put on. Praise the Lord. So this period, hallelujah, use it. They call it besetting sin. Whatever it is you want to do, that, you know, you want to move forward, it will draw you back. Those secret sins, when you finish committing, you'll be regretting it. Let me tell you, they don't just come like that. They always start with a thought. And so your prayer is, Lord, send your fire and cleanse my heart. And give me the power to resist the devil. If this consecration period is going to be effective, because this consecration period is not to keep you holy for 21 days only. Some people, they are going to be holy for 21 days. Then after, they will come down from the mountain and say, Kai, I tried 21 days and not taste beer. Kai, I tried. This 21 days, I like this church. 21 days and not touch a woman. Because you own her every day. Fornicator. I try. Anybody abusing you now, when you want to react as before, you go remember saying they do consecration. Wait, make and finish this program. Now because I do this program, then they do all this nonsense around me. They want to spoil my blessing for this 21 days. Wait, make and finish this 21 days first. See, it is not to keep you holy for 21 days. It is to prepare you to be holy forever. That is what the consecration period is all about. So, how will you know? How will you know that you partook of this 21 days program and you became successful? It is the life that you will live after the 21 days. Yes. These 21 days, our prayer is, give me the power to do your will, O Lord, I pray. That is what this 21 days is supposed to achieve. We are preparing ourselves for the journey ahead until we go in the rapture. And it is an opportunity for somebody to start all over. It is homecoming time. It's a time for you to say, I've wandered far away from God. Now, I'm coming home. He says, the path of sin. Too long I have trod along the path of sin. Now I am making a U-turn. Now I am coming home. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That is what the 21 days consecration period that will be crowned up with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That is what it's supposed to achieve. And therefore, if you understand what I am saying, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says so. For it is God which worketh in you. Have you ever considered that scripture? Let's meditate on it. For it is God, Philippians chapter 2 verse 13, which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Where does he do this work? It's in your heart. It's in your heart. When you can allow him to take over. When you can allow him to take over. You are either yoked to the world or you are yoked to Christ, and you yoke to him by his word. That's what he says in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, I like the way there's a way Christ put there. Let me read it from verse 1. I am the true vine. This is the picture he's giving for us to understand. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, what does he do? He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, if you are bearing fruit, see how God works, what does he do? He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Then he told his disciples, now you are clean. Clean through what? What is it that cleaned them up? He said, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Because the power that cleanses, hallelujah, is the word of God. You want to remain holy? I want to beg you, please. Don't bother yourself going to do dry fasting. I'm going to a mountain. I'm going to a camp. If you are only those who are already clean and holy, have a relationship, should go to the camp to pray for any other thing. Go clean up yourself. When you discover that you are always committing sin, when you discover that you have a besetting sin, when you discover that you have a weakness, what you should do is go and clean up yourself by the word. Because it is because you are empty of God's word. That is why you act like that. It is because you are empty. You are empty of God's word. That is why you act like that. Before I continue, I will read the next verse to confirm what I'm saying. Psalm 119. Open it. Verse 11. In fact, verse 9 first. Psalm 119, verse 9. Are we there? I want everybody to see it. Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his ways? By going to the mountain. By doing dry fasting. What will you cleanse your way? By doing what? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Verse 11. He said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The solution to stop committing sin is store the word of God in you. It will bounce back every carnality. It will bounce back every error. Every arrow of evil thought. If thou be a son of God, command that these stones should be turned to bread. Are you not hungry? What did Jesus use? It is, man shall not live by bread alone. That is what you will use to resist him. A man is, young man is enticing you, seducing you to sleep with you. A woman is seducing you to sleep with you. If you have the scripture that says that I am the temple, now you know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. If any man defile my temple, him will God destroy. Hey! You will zip up. You will zip up. Because the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It will pierce your heart immediately. You will repent and then you will draw back. What you need in you is the word. And when we say the word, you are busy. The word is not water baptism in Jesus' name. The word is not serpent seed doctrine. The word is not mystery. No mystery. Mystery. I have seen enter messy believers full of head knowledge of mysteries. But the simple process of walking in love with one another, they lack it. Come and see pride among them. Come and see hatred and unforgiveness among them. I have been among them. Because they have spent more time feeding their soul with doctrines and things that even have no salvation virtue, and our daily walk that portray and gives God the ability to express himself by the fruit of the Spirit, we know nothing about it. And so, the type of Christianity we have, you don't even know who is your brother. You don't even know who is your sister. You cannot define who is a Christian brother, who is a Christian sister. You don't even know what it does when you see a fellow believer in need and you can help and you refuse to help. Nothing like that. And because you are so full of yourself, you cannot even see God where he is, because you are too high. And our God that comes in simplicity comes and passes over you. You are too high to see him passing under you and going. Because you don't know him. If you know God, you will know that he can talk to you through anything, including a madman on the street. Talk to you. When you think you are something, you are the general overseer, you are the overseer, you are the pastor, senior pastor, you've forgotten that somebody that comes to me for counseling, as I am sharing with you, I am learning something that will help me in my Christian life. Who come and say, what do you know? What do you know? What do you know? What do you know? Will Abraham say, I didn't go to school. I may not know how to read and write. I may not know how to read this Bible, but it is enough for me that I know the God of this Bible. I'm satisfied. He enough that he knows the God of this Bible. But I don't know how to read, though, but I know that God. What does it profit you that you can read and you don't know him? Because reading is to make you know him. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 119 verse 105. What does it say? Hallelujah. Psalm 119 verse 105. What did it say? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. What he's saying here is that the life that I live is guided by the word of God. It shows me what to do and what not to do, where to go and where not to go, how to live my life here on earth. See how important it is for us to study the Bible. And there are two ways of studying the Bible. Some of us study the Bible for show off, so that people will say, we can quote, we can quote, we can quote. No. Study the Bible for your spiritual development. Study the Bible for your own. Personalize everything you read. Every story. The story of the rich man, place yourself there. The story of Abraham, Joseph, place yourself. How Nebuchadnezzar, a human being, a king, was turned to an animal. For 7 years he was eating grass. It should humble you and take away pride from you. That's what you study the Bible for. Anytime I read in the newspapers that a pastor was caught in fornication, a pastor was caught in this, I am a pastor now. I should learn something from there. This man, a pastor, when they caught this one, me, I will not fall like that. Not by my power. Oh Lord, help me. Because the Bible says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And those of us who have decided truly to serve God with by all means, our own is this heaven we must go. We are the target of the devil. We are the ones that face more temptations than those that are already in his pocket. You have to take note of that. And the source of our strength is the word of God. And therefore, okay, let me finish reading John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, I read it again. Verse 3. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Then he says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. You can never live a holy life without him. You can never do any spiritual exercise without him. And in verse 6, he said, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, prayer is simple. Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And verse 8, he said, hearing is my Father glorified. How is he glorified? That you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. See how simple prayer is? That's the key. You abide in him and he abides in you. When there is a relationship. When you have a relationship with God, then your prayer becomes easy. You are doing dry fasting before he answers you. Something is wrong with that relationship. Amen. You should fast to deal with your flesh. Not to fast so that God will pity you and answer you. I've been saying this often and often. Practice what I teach you. Practice it. And I don't teach you what I don't practice. I teach you what I practice. And I have found that is what gives me joy. That's what gives me joy. We have been misdirected. I want to redirect you. Christ has paid the price and caused the way to be opened to the throne of grace. No. The Father will not hear you because you are coming to him with an empty stomach. No. The Father hears you because you keep his commandments. And you must fast because you have to put this body under for your spirit man to be on top. That is why we must fast. We fast to deal with our carnalities that hinder us, hinder the flow of fellowship with the Spirit. That is why we fast. Some people say they go and fast for power. Some of them, in going to fast to receive power, they receive demonic powers. Because power comes to you through faithfulness. I don't know whether somebody is understanding me. Amen. I'm teaching you something now. Power. If you want more power, then you should be more faithful. And you should be faithful in the little thing that is committed to you. Hallelujah. When God gives you a little grace, he watches what you do with it. It is what you do with that little he gives you that positions you without praying for it to be increased. It's not the number of mountains you visit. It's not the amount of oil poured upon you. It is how faithful, the commitment you have. Hallelujah. With the little he has given you. The little money he has given you. What have you done with it? The little grace he has given you. What have you done with it? See? Hallelujah. There are some people that are gifted in singing. When they stand to sing, just sing. There used to be a sister in this church. Some of you know her, Sister Uju. A young girl here. It's marriage that took her away from this church. When she collected microphone to minister, those of you who are old members here, when that girl collect microphone and start singing, come and see vibration. People will be falling under anointing, just singing. And those who know her, immediately she starts singing, just look at her, she changes. You will see that this is no more Uju. She changes. Her eyes change. Her skin will change. Everything will change. She's in another realm. And God gives such. And some people will have such grace. The next thing is, they are calculating, if I produce 100,000 copies, 10 naira on top, 100 naira on top, each one, 100, I don't make money with that now. Then they are going to borrow money. What do you want to do? I want to wax music. And the purpose is for commercialization. He watches you. You will never go beyond that level. And when they discover they cannot go beyond that level, they will withdraw from church. The next thing is, they will go to nightclub they'll go and join all this nonsense and be doing what they are doing there. What of you, gifted brother, gifted sister, that is evidence that the gift you had was genuine. When God gives you that gift, He watches. Immediately pride comes in, you remain like that. Go to the mountain and fast, it will never pass that level. The next thing is, you go, look, everybody is overtaking me. Does the way just call yesterday, don't they see, pass me. Before you know what, they do arrange you. Go and collect name. People won't forget me. I see day. Collect your name. Collect your address. Collect your this one. Collect praise the Lord. They don't care whether the person they see them or not. Nobody even the target. That the general people, man, I must still flow. Amen. I'm telling you the areas you will face in your life. That is why. Hallelujah. Power is increased. The grace you have is increased. Including me, that I am a teacher. The little revelation He gives me, God will see what I am doing with that revelation before He can take me deeper. I know that. Very soon, He exposes Pastor Moses Alu, exposed to the whole world. And before you know what, is there anybody that has my type of ministry in Africa? None. Therefore, how can I be an ordinary pastor? Francis, which title? I cannot bear the same title with you people now. I must bear something. And once you start like that, wahala don't come. People don't know why I keep telling you, don't call me. Call me brother. Call me. You don't know what I am fighting. I know my Bible. I know this God. I know the little He showed me. And they follow Him. So that I will not miss the mark. That's the problem with Christians. When you kneel down to pray, what are you praying for? How much of God do you know? How often do you tell Him, I want to know you? You are busy fighting the queen of the coast, fighting your in-law, fighting the witch, fighting your uncle, fighting, and the thing you are supposed to fight is right there living with you. Your heart is in your heart. With all manner of carnalities you display, you don't even know when you are off the line. Because there's nothing to check you. Therefore, study to show thyself approved unto who? Unto God, because God is the director of your life. You live a life to please Him first, because no, you can never please human beings. So forget about looking for human beings to please them. There is a God that directs our path. Let Him be your director. Let your focus be on Him. Study to show yourself approved unto God. He said, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So that you will know how to react, how to respond to issues of life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is why Apostle Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray and bring God into your estate. And the first estate, amen, is the estate of your heart, the estate of your mind. And so throughout this period, let me remind you that there is a posture the Lord Jesus Christ taught us that we should put on whenever we are fasting. Can we read it? Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, 17, and 18. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, For they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their rewards. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, that is, rub cream, and wash thy face. Why? That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret, what will happen? Shall reward thee openly. So stop announcing to people that you are fasting anytime you are having a personal consecration with God. Because the truth is, as soon as you start announcing, you become a target. You become a target. I have my son who is about 10 years old now, and every day of the consecration, they fast. And at the end of the day, they bring report, all of them, the children in my house. And he said, I asked him day before yesterday, he said he didn't fast. Why? That was on Friday or so. He said he didn't fast. I asked why. He said they were buying something, his friends in the school were eating something. And then they say eat. And he told them, no, you will not eat. And they asked him why. He said, because I am fasting. They say, you lie. Then they took it, he said, and they forced it into his mouth, and he fell. In his own words, he said, and I was defeated. I said, what did you spit out? He said, I was defeated now. I ate it because he was already hungry. But if he didn't say, I am fasting, they would not have bothered him. Hallelujah. You tell your once you announce it, temptations, trials will start to come. That's the period your husband will begin to look at you. This one, you want to look, say, you want to talk, say, you're more spiritual than me, without that, Abby. You want them, they condemn them. So as you cook this, so you no go chop her now. You no go chop her now because you dey fast, Abi. Do you know that the Bible say I have authority over you? God will not give you that type of husband in Jesus' name. That's the period he wants to even sleep with you, even if you are your messes. Because you own that fast night, they worry him. And it is that same old devil pushing it. So it's better. And why do you want people to know that you are fasting? Sometimes out of pride. The Bible calls you, say, don't be like the Pharisees. Everything they do is for men to see. Yes. They do it for showmanship. Just to show. I've not seen this carnal Pentecostals that speak in tongues. To make you think that they are spiritual. Immediately they're even talking with you. They say, oh, Sarah, my soul. Oh, man. What do you say? Then you now will be looking and say, ah, when will I reach this level? Nothing like that. Praise the Lord. That's not spirituality. Lie. So before we round up, let me just say something. Few minutes. Amen. There's something that we must take note of. There's a condition. Two groups of people, hallelujah, that qualify for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Two groups of people that qualify for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Number one, the Holy Ghost is given to them that believe. And number two, the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey. There are the two groups. The first group, to them that believe. If you look at the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he was giving them the word. He was giving them instruction. There are so many people that have a limit. They have decided to have a limit. They can walk with God. Your own to walk with God. We have example in the Bible. 70 disciples in John chapter 6. 70 of them were following Jesus up and down. During miracle signs and wonders, they were all there. They came back. That is the kind of gospel. The gospel just talk about power, 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 prosperity. But when you go into the depth of what salvation is all about, they don't want to hear it. By the time Jesus began to tell them, except you eat my flesh and you drink my blood, you have no life in you. My flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he began to speak along those lines. If you read it very well in John chapter 6, by the end, by the time he finished, he turned around. All of them say, waiting this man, they talk again. Waiting this man, they talk. They all withdrew. And as at that time, he was only preparing the people for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remaining only 12. Because they did not believe what he was saying. They did not believe. Hallelujah. Listen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. They did not believe. See what happened in the wilderness. Why did they not enter the promised land? In Hebrews chapter 4, Apostle Paul said they did not enter that rest because of unbelief. If you read the first four verses, if I read the whole chapter of Hebrews chapter 4 concerning the rest that was promised them, they left Egypt bondage, but they perished in the wilderness on the journey to their place of rest. Why? Because of unbelief. And you know the activities that took place there. He said, go and preach the gospel to all nations. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. You have to believe the gospel first. Oh, certainly, you have to believe the gospel first. Then you will obey what you heard. The Holy Ghost is given to them that obey. Acts chapter 5 verse 12. Let's read it. It's in the Bible. Acts chapter 5 and verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles, we have many signs and wonders wrought among the people. Hallelujah. And they were all with one accord. Sorry. Verse 32. I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verse 32. He said, and we are his witnesses. That's the verse I'm looking for. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that do what? The Holy Ghost is given to who? To them that obey him. The Holy Ghost can never be given to the disobedient. The prophet Elijah commanded the people standing that they should put water on the altar, rearrange the altar. They obeyed. They did it exactly according to the word of the prophet. And so the fire came down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He told his disciples in Acts chapter 1. Can we read it? Acts chapter 1 verses 4 and 5. Acts chapter. And being assembled together. Chapter 1 verse 4 and 5. With them commanded them. Jesus commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Commandment. 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 Don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, ye have heard of me. And verse 5, for John truly baptized with water. But ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. But before that, wait in Jerusalem. 120 of them had that wait. If you did not wait and you left Jerusalem and went to Samaria, will you have received the Holy Ghost? That's what I'm trying to bring out here. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Obedience. Obedience. We stood here. What does the Bible say in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20? 2 Chronicles is a popular scripture. Verse 20. Chapter 20, verse 20. 2 Chronicles. Hallelujah. It says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness, that is Jehoshaphat of Tekoa. And as they went forth, this is what Jehoshaphat said. And that is a statement we always quote. He says, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Listen to him. Believe in the Lord your God. If you do that, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And I am one of his prophets. A prophet is one who says God is saying. And when I give you instruction in my office as a minister of God, a servant of God, obey and you will prosper. Hallelujah. Obey and you will prosper. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible referred to some people in the church as truth breakers. We all agree that we should go and fast. We all agree. You don't know. When the Bible says whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, it is repeated in two places in the Bible. It is spoken in Matthew chapter 16, where he gave the keys to the kingdom to Peter. And he told him, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. But it comes also to chapter 18. And he spoke about, if two of you shall agree concerning anything you ask of here, it will be done for you in heaven. And he added there, for whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. He's talking about agreement. Peter's own is to cast out devils. Bind Satan and cast him out. That is Matthew 16. But Matthew 18, binding and loosing there, is agreement. Agreement. If we agree to do anything, and you are a member of the church, and you say you will do it, and you leave, and you don't participate, you are a truth breaker. It is sin. How can you receive the Holy Ghost? And if you want to go office, then you go to the pastor, go to the minister, and tell him, please, loose me of this bond, because I cannot fast for this reason, and the pastor will tell you, you are free. For whatever you lose on earth is lose in heaven. And then you lose him from the bond. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if there's anybody that has broken, if you're a truth breaker, please repent and join. If not, if you come that day, as you come, now you go. Nothing will happen. And if you ever receive any ghost that day, it will not be a holy one. But you receive a ghost. You are the type that after you receive that ghost, you fall down, finish. Come and watch your life. Watch the type of life you live. To show that it was no Holy Ghost you received. It was evil ghost you received. If you receive prophetic instructions that are given to you here through the word of knowledge by confirmed gifted people. Confirmed gifted people. They give you prophetic instruction. That is why Apostle Paul said, despise not prophesying, quench not the spirit, and despise not prophecy. Don't despise prophecy. And can I use this opportunity to tell you, to warn you something? As I said, this one just come to my mind now. When he says, obey instructions that are given by, through word of knowledge, by gifted brethren. Listen, Satan also. We are discussing this in my office with some ministers during the vigil or so. There are people that claim that they are gifted people. Listen, they fool this church. They fool this church. I want to expose the spirit so that you don't fall prey. They say they are gifted, and all they do is to be giving you instruction. 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 Pastor. Pastor. I receive revelation. Pastor, I receive the legend. The angel came. He dressed like this and he stood like this. He was carrying fire. One on his right hand, one on his left hand. And light was shining. And he shouted, go and tell my servant. Go and tell my servant, waiting, that he should run around the church 7 times. Pastor, pastor. The Lord said, you should go to the mountain. He wants to expose something to you. If he wants to deal with you, then he will look you. The Lord said, you should wait on him for 3 days, dry fasting. Now lie, he won't punish you. Every time, the Lord said, you should do this. The Lord said, you should do this. The Lord said, you should do this. You know, I have been pastoring this church for the past 17 years, and it is a church of gifted people. So God has trained me well. I know them when they come. Now when we start and they fight them now, I know they fight again. I will all look and say, thank you, you can go. I cannot waste my energy on such. But let me just tell you now, you will see them, especially if you get money. Aya. The Lord was telling me, he was calling your name, calling your name, calling your name, calling your name, that I should come, I should go and wait on the Lord. I should pray for you. I should go to the camp for 3 days. I don't know what you are believing God for, but he just troubled me. I said, I will not go. He deal with me. That's why I am going to pray for you. Do you need to tell me before you pray for me? Let me tell you something, you go pray for me. No, be God tell you something, you go pray for me. And you will go obey, then tell him, sir, don't pray for Ramo. Do you need to tell me? Now me send you, me go pray for me. Now lie, now something they find. They fool this church, oh, they need this church. Make any prophet come pick you up. Come talk, say, you have 5 containers on the way coming. Say, yes. You have this. Amen. They clap hand. Watch now, after service, see the number of people that will say, Uncle, brother, when Prophet Sunday was giving that message, I also saw. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Before you give me any instruction I will follow, you have given prophecy that has come to pass before. Your ministry has been confirmed that God talks to you. Don't, and even the Bible says in the mouth of 2 or 3, the matter is established. Anybody that gives you such revelation, wait till another person come and tell you. And make sure it is not that person that sent him to come and tell you. We know them. Praise the Lord. So that you will not be, they will not let celestial spirit come here and they punish people for here. And even if you say benefit of doubt, listen, we are a restored church. All this nyama nyama push them out of you. If somebody says you should do something, ask him if I do it so that what will happen. Then do it, benefit of that, since the thing not going to kill you. Okay, make I do it, maybe not God. If the thing doesn't come to pass, mark that person. Report him to all your friends. No, listen to that person. If you see and they stand with somebody, come, what did they tell him again? The one way you tell me, make I do, nothing happen. What did they tell you, make you do? Say it, fight it out. Hallelujah. And it is not how you give the message that matters. Because some will come to my office or give me message. Jerry will have to include 4 other security people outside to come and help hold the person. But you can't normally enter my office. But when it is time to give me the message, then you are breaking things in my office. So that I will say, the Holy Ghost, they talk. I'm exposing the spirit. Hallelujah. Unto that, we are past that level long time ago. Long time ago. But don't despise prophecy. If the person is see, people who are genuinely gifted in this church doesn't even know them. When you see somebody pushing himself or pushing herself to be known, there is a motive behind it. And I am quick to note them. Hallelujah. Do you people know that there is a sister in this church that receives angelic visitation and that the angel of recent has allowed her to be taking his picture? He will take the video of the angel when he comes. I have seen the video. I have seen the record. Almost every time, the angel that comes to give her messages will come into the room. And when he will come. The first time, he said, "Can I take the picture?" He said, "Take." And he said, "Video, not just picture, video. My wife was telling me this morning, he said his sister showed he said it's scary, very, very scary. And yet, quietly there. She has a message, she'll come and give me the message quietly and go. She has her book where she writes them down. Quietly like that. And if you jam this sister, you will know this is a Christian. So, when the Bible said despise no prophecy, because God will always talk to us through this means. But Satan and carnal people have invaded it. So I'm only trying to tell you to be careful so that you act on God and God alone. One time, some years back, before this demolition took place, they brought a revelation. They brought one time they came, they say, "Pastor, the group leader came and met me that I will receive revelation." No, he said, "I should tell you that you should not go home in your car today." So I look, the person when they give me the revelation, he didn't get car. I said, "Then you will drop me in my house. You will drop me in my house, so my driver can go with the vehicle. Now you bring message now. You get car. Or how you want make I go? Until he carry me reach house. Go and tell the person who give the revelation, say, I know enter the motor. Now you carry me come." That one no do. The next time, they say, "For 1 week, I should not enter my car. They won't punish me. Nothing more. They just want to punish me. Nothing more. So how are they work out for 1 week?" So I say, "Okay, let me confirm. What thing will happen? Okay, if the thing happen, then I will trust this vessel where say, make I not enter." Throughout that week, even 1 minute prayer, I no pray concerning that revelation. I want to see him. Me, I want to see him. If not die, make I die. And after if I die, they go heaven. I drove my car throughout. Come, go. Nothing happened. You see? Then when we say, gifted people, let's have meeting. I saw the person who bring the revelation. I said, excuse me. Why are you here? I'm among gifted. Which gift you get? Please, from today, don't join gifted people here. You don't get gift. They go. Hallelujah. Another way of knowing them is when they give you message, they make you do something and you refuse to do it, they will be angry with you. When you see them angry, I told you to do this, you didn't do it. I told you, and they fight you. See me, see trouble. Don't be message, they send you to me, say, you deliver the message now, you have finished your own. But there is a reason behind it. But despite all that, tell your neighbor, don't despise prophecy. Tell him. Tell your neighbor, don't despise prophecy. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you are going to receive the Holy Ghost, please watch this. The Holy Ghost is given to them that believe, and the Holy Ghost is given to them that obey. Instructions from the Lord. And some of these instructions may be given to you personally, through your dream, through the word of knowledge, that voice that speaks to you. When you are sure it is the usual voice that speaks to you, the same way, once it tells you whatever to do, please obey. Don't despise it. And your life will never remain the same in the name of Jesus. Always remember. Hallelujah. The Bible says, the day, the hour of the coming of the Lord, no one knows. But this is our own attempt to prepare ourselves to get ready. For the Bible says he will come like a thief in the night. And he should not catch us unawares. He should catch us ready as a bride is ready for her bridegroom. And so he says we should give diligence to make our calling and election sure. Ensure that you are not just a church goer. Ensure that you have the Holy Ghost. Because whom he justifies. Hallelujah. Him he also glorifies. Take note of that. Whom he justifies. You wash away your sins through water baptism, he will also give you the Holy Ghost. Remember, no Holy Ghost, no rapture. If you have not the Holy Ghost, you are not a Christian. You are none of his. And you are struggling to acquire worldly things. Now it is time to struggle to acquire eternal life. For what shall it profit a man? You gain the whole world and you lose your life. And why must we clean up ourselves? Apostle Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and chapter 2, yes, and verse 13 and verse 15, he lets us know that we are called, our call. He called us unto himself through sanctification, the process of sanctification and the belief of the truth. That is our call. Let's read it. Somebody has not thought and meditated on that scripture. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, 14, and 15. Just try to meditate on that scripture. It says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through what? Sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Emphasis. Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. You see, if God has chosen you, many are called, few are chosen. But he has chosen us to go through sanctification of the Spirit and believe of the truth. You cannot say you are choosing and you are living anyhow life. No. You cannot say you are choosing and you live a carnal life, a disobedient life. No, 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 no. And he says, all the Father has given me. And what did he give you? Give him. He gave us to him from the foundation of the world. And we are the ones, our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. He said, all that he, God has given him, the Father has given him, shall come to me. And this consecration moment is a time to go back to him. Let's go back to him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And when you are going to go to him, then you have to put away all the strange gods. There should be a change of garment, change of approach to your Christian life, to your spiritual life. I'm expecting that by the end of this period, which we do annually, that this church will witness another level of Christianity. Hallelujah. I told some ministers that were in my office this morning. I said, I knelt down this morning, and one of the prayer points I was telling the Lord is that he should not make my ministry, my church, that he has given me to pastor. I said, he should not make it a clinic, but he should make it a home. I don't want this church to be a clinic where people come here only to solve their problems. When they have problems, they know there's a powerful church somewhere, they will run there and pray. Then when the problem is over, they go back to their Anglican and Catholic and Baptist denomination. The next time they remember you is when another problem comes. And they're advertising the church. Oh, you get this problem? Pastor, that pastor, somebody gave me your number. I receive it every day. Somebody gave me your number. I was sharing a problem I have with him. And he said, if I get you, that the problem will go. And so the question is, am I a prayer warrior? Now that they give them, now that they give them. Am I a prayer warrior? Am I the head of intercessor? Ogugwa. Ogugwa no de. In case you don't know, please, Ogugwa is the head of intercessors. His number is on the television screen. He's the prayer warrior. In fact, for how many days they have been on dry fasting, they just broke this morning with his team, interceding for all of us. Don't give anybody my number because of power. But if they want to know the word of God, I give them my number. Give them my number. I am born to preach the gospel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want this place to be a home where people will come here and say, yes, that void in my soul is now being filled. I want to be a place where people will have a personal relationship with God. I want somebody that will come to this ministry and say, since I joined this ministry, my life has changed. Not because you have moved from one shop to 10 shops, but because you suddenly discover that your spiritual life is now better. You can resist sin. Your prayer life has changed. Now you are relating better not with God. There is a love of the things of God. There is a love of God. There is a fear of God now more in you. Now, before church starts, your mind is already there. Now you are having fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Now you are victorious. Now you can speak something about your spiritual life. That is the kind of ministry I want to raise up. And all these are attempts to achieve this one thing. A church where you will go and you will call somebody brother, and he will not take advantage of you. I will deal with you as a brother. You will feel my pain, I will feel your pain. You will rejoice with me, I will rejoice with you. I will pick you up in prayer, you will pick me up in prayer. When this type of church is established, then we say, yes, this is the restored ministry. And may the Lord answer this desire in the name of Jesus. Let's bow down our heads. This is my earnest cry. This is my earnest desire. Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord. Throughout this period,
this is my earnest desire.
Give me the power to do your will. Oh Lord, I pray.
Oh Lord, I pray.
Lord, it is.
Lord, it is.
But I'm anointed.
Cover my head.
That causes you to live a life.
Oh Lord.
Love do you have? How much of God do you love? Apostle John said, he that loveth, he that begetteth, he said, love he that is begotten also of him. If you love the Father, then love the Son also. You cannot say you love the Father and hate the Son. You can't say you love Jesus and hate his children. No, now. But I'm hearing good testimonies among the brethren. Oh, yes. Because I know a brother in this church that built his house where he will stay, and then he created one part and gave it to a minister who he discovered had accommodation problem, and he's living in that flat next to his, free of charge, in this church. I know it happens. I know it happens. It's a function of love of God. Because he sees him as his brother. And it's not his tribe. It's not even from his state. The brother is an Igbo man. The brother, it's not an Igbo man. So you won't say it's from his village. You won't say it's from his village. Love. I've said it here several times. You close from service here. Some of you will not even give somebody a ride to the bus stop. And you go with empty car. You see? How many brethren do you have in your prayer list that you mention and pray for them? See, I know a sister that anytime she leaves her house, she keeps a particular amount apart from her offering. He said, because there will be some needy people that I will help. What of you? This building project has been going on. Be sincere with yourself. Are you sure you have contributed commensurately with the blessings that God has been blessing you? Do you even pay your tithes, which is your obligation as a Christian? How much do you bring to God anytime you give testimony of what he has done for you? How much offering do you bring when it is time for offering? What do you do for the advancement of the kingdom that shows you are part of the kingdom? See? Create in me a clean heart. Oh, renew a right spirit. Jesus. Father, that's our heart desire. I pray, oh Lord, that you will do something within these 21 days that we dedicated to this consecration, that will keep us unto eternity, living a life pleasing before you in the name of Jesus. We are waiting for your coming, Lord. May we be among those that you come to take home. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. Can we put our hands together for our God?